My name is Charles Biblazer, managing editor of The Media Line, and my guest today is Professor Uzi Rabi, director of the Moshe Dayan Center for Middle Eastern and African Studies at Tel Aviv University. Thank you very much for being with me.
Pleasure, thank you.
The topic is Strange Bedfellows, a possible breakthrough between Muslim-majority Somalia and Israel. This manifested in a recent abstention by Mogadishu on a resolution condemning Israel's control of the Golan Heights brought forth at the UN's Human Rights Council. That said, Somalia did later vote in favor of three other motions slamming the Jewish state and seemingly backtracked on its acceptance of Israel's presence in the Golan. Nevertheless, there was an anomaly, Professor Rabi, which went largely unnoticed. What, in your opinion, accounts for this?
Well, I think that a lot can be said about Israel penetrating diplomacy into Africa and the Arab Middle East, but Somalia is definitely kind of a unique case study. As it is a member of the Arab League, it was highly surprising that the Somalis came up with this abstention when it came to this decision or call upon members to denounce the American decision to see the Golan Heights as part and parcel of Israel. What I can say here is that in one hand, it reflects what are selling, what we are saying actually for years in the Middle East and Africa. This is a new geopolitical constellation where states are considering their particular interest as first and foremost. And we have seen a lot of this. Somalia has many, many things and many, many actually considerations by which to flirt with Israel beneath the radar. I think that goes back to 2016 when there were some negotiations behind the scenes between the Israeli government and Somalia. It goes without saying that Israel can provide Somalia a lot of experience in so many fields, including agriculture, water industry, security, and so forth. Basically, the Somali leadership, and especially the new leadership now, does think that kind of a link with Israel would be of the best interest of Somalia. This is actually the background against which I think this decision was taken. As you said in your introductory remark, there was a retreat after that, but I think that what counts here is some hesitations and other considerations having the back of the mind of many, many Arab and Muslim states in the Middle East and Africa when it comes to the one-time enemy Israel. This is kind of a new situation in the 21st century, and very, very well aware of things. Israel would know how to capitalize on that, and this is, of course, kind of a portent of things to come in my view.
And obviously, we saw evidence of this with the reciprocal visits between Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Idris of Chad recently. There was talk of Mali's leader visiting Israel as well. There were even reports of the potential formalization of official relations with Sudan. Do you view this as a potentiality?
I think that yesterday, actually, what we have to mention is that Israeli embassy in Rwanda was inaugurated. What you said about Chad is very, very applicable to what we are saying. The state, Chad, actually had relationships with Israel until 1972, when Muammar Gaddafi, the then Libyan leader, actually threatened Chad that if it is not going actually to abolish that, he is going to make life more difficult for Chad. So what I'm trying to say is that while in the past there were so high and broad considerations by so many states, especially when it came to Muslim unity, Arab unity, and stuff like that, what we got these days is a breakup of all these, I would say, universal or regional unions, each country by itself. This is the spirit. And nobody can persuade a state not to be involved or to further develop bilateral relations with Israel if the bottom line is that the state is going to be benefited from that kind of a cooperation. But at the same time, it is of course kind of a very clever Israeli diplomacy that does understand what's going on, and trying to capitalize on the changing circumstances. So it's both things, and I think that we're going to have more of that in the coming years. What I have to put is kind of a word of reservation. We have to remind ourselves that this is not kind of a pure friendship or intimacy. It is a very functional collaboration.
And in that respect, a lot of people have focused primarily on the shared goal of countering Iranian expansionism in the region. But you've mentioned very important other dimensions, such as agriculture and water and counterterrorism cooperation. And while certain interests can be fleeting, these seem like the types of things that could really form the bedrock of long-lasting relationships. Do you agree?
As we know that Iran is almost everywhere, in the Middle East, in the Horn of Africa, and in East Africa, with kind of recent efforts, I guess that it would be understandable that this is part and parcel of what Israel is aims at. But I would take this whole thing as a package deal. If states are going to consider or reconsider their position and come up with a different priority as to what counts for their own agenda and their own states, this would definitely would become kind of a different arena to be analyzed in both geopolitical and sociocultural terms. And I guess that the one who reads the change and is very, very keenly aware of it would, as I said before, capitalize on these changes. I definitely think that what Israel is doing here is kind of a blessed movement. And I see states like Chad, Somalia, and others as states that came to realize that if they would like actually to have better future for themselves, they should neglect the, let's say, slogans of the 20th century and get connected to the realities of the 21st century.
Certainly some potentially monumental developments in the region. Professor Uzi Rabi, director of the Moshe Dayan Center for Middle Eastern and African Studies at Tel Aviv University, I very much appreciate you being with me today. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.